Hello, this is John Robles. I'm speaking with Stuart Bromhall. She's a retired psychiatrist and a longtime political activist, and she's done a lot of research on U.S. aid and their influence by the CIA. Hello, Jane, how are you?
I'm great.
USAID has been expelled from the Russian Federation because, in the government's opinion, they attempted to influence the internal political processes in the country. What can you tell our listeners about USAID and similar things they've done in other countries?
One thing you need to understand is that it's not acceptable in the United States in the political process to give foreign aid. Basically, ever since Ronald Reagan was president, people, you know, presidents or Congress people who advocated for doing foreign aid came under a lot of criticism politically. And generally, the idea is that it's only really acceptable to give foreign aid if there's some kind of military or economic advantage in giving aid in that country. You can really tell just from looking at the USAID website. Clearly, their main focus is not to give foreign aid in a country. It's to basically advance U.S. economic interests. On their website, they divide the periods of influence into 2000 forward, 1990 to 2000. They state very clearly, like between 1980 and 1990, the primary focus of USAID was to promote free market, which is, that's kind of a code word for saying to promote neoliberalism, which is a very specific U.S. economic view that promotes very limited government, only in form of police force or military force. They feel education should be privatized, medical care should be privatized, social services should be privatized. You know, so basically this is an attitude that government really has no role except to police a population and to expand military influence. And USAID says this very clearly on their website. None of this is secret. We're not talking about classified information. It's freely available information that you can read about on the USAID website. You can read in Foreign Relations Council documents, State Department documents. And Noam Chomsky, who is a famous American dissident, has done a lot of research into something that he calls U.S. grand area planning. This has been going on since the late 1930s. And the notion is that there are certain regions of the world that really are expected to be subordinated to the needs of American planning. This is both economically and militarily. And since World War II, these areas have included the Western Hemisphere, the Far East, and the former British Empire. And there's been very consistent policy by the United States that we support totalitarian dictatorships in those regions. In Latin America, there has a long history of direct military interventions where we just send the Marines down. If, say, a country elects a democratic leader, we invade like we did in Grenada or like we did in Panama.
Just a reminder, you're listening to an interview with Stuart Bromhall. What can you tell us about the CIA using USAID as a front company?
It's always been a front company for the CIA. Started by Kennedy by executive order in 1961. During the 1980s, when various Latin American countries began to try to overthrow some of these dictators that the United States had installed, there was a very close collaboration between the AFL-CIO, which is the American Federation of Labor, and USAID in order to work with potential labor activists there in order to basically suppress union organizing and to persuade the labor activists that they needed to cooperate with the corporations, which for the most part were U.S. corporations that were exploiting these countries.
What other types of organizations could USAID use, and how could they be manipulated to bring about a U.S. advantage or U.S. plans in a region?
They're mostly trying to promote the interest of U.S. corporations. The CIA has very close connections with a number of corporations. There are a number of Wall Street banking interests that have been very closely associated with the CIA, and also a number of specific companies that are very closely associated with the CIA. And so, to a large extent, in Latin America, the function of the CIA was to suppress any local democracy movements and to suppress any local labor organizing that was going to interfere with the interests of the corporations, because the corporations didn't want to have unions where workers were making significant demands over wages and working conditions. Mm-hmm. And by having the CIA and USAID and the AFL-CIO working closely to collaborate with the police and with death squads to arrest and kill union activists, they could prevent any union organizing from happening, and that would keep the wages really low because that would increase the profit of the corporation.
Can you name any of these corporations and banks?
Coca-Cola was one in Guatemala, United Fruit Company over a long period of time.
What about some of the Wall Street banks?
Mostly the people who were involved with the CIA were lawyers who would represent various banks, like John McCoy was a Wall Street lawyer who worked with the CIA and later became president of the Ford Foundation, and he was the one that had the Ford Foundation collaborate very closely with the CIA. The Ford Foundation would accept a lot of funding from the CIA because the Ford Foundation was going into countries and doing development work. It would make it appear like they were really trying to help the people in that country, whereas they were really trying to suppress pro-democracy movements and pro-union movements. The Ford Foundation has also worked very closely with USAID.
So you're saying it's in the U.S. interests to suppress democracy?
What happened in the Middle East is that we also supported dictators. We supported Mubarak. We supported the Saudi royal family, which is a very totalitarian government. We supported the King of Jordan.
Bahrain.
And here it wasn't because we wanted to get cheap labor. Here it was because the United States wanted to maintain control of oil resources. And so through their support of these dictators, they were able to suppress any pro-democracy movement that might be inclined to nationalize. Their biggest fear was that some of these countries would elect a pro-democratic government that would want to nationalize their oil industry.
All right, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
You were listening to an interview with Stuart Bromhall. Thanks for listening.